You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the dynamic world of enterprise security, identity architects and IT leaders face a major challenge. Growth by repeated acquisitions multiplies the complexity of everything. Multiple IDPs, MFA providers, policy engines that all need to coexist. This can lead to fragmented user identities and policies that create security vulnerabilities and add access friction. Strata Identity solves this. Now you can decommission unneeded IDPs and consolidate the ones you'd like to keep without rewriting apps or disrupting users, engineers, and app owners. Plus, Strata's modular architecture makes it easy to integrate with any identity provider without manual maintenance and coding. Join the ranks of cybersecurity leaders using identity orchestration. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your top identity security priorities, and receive a pair of complimentary AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Step into a new era of identity management at strata.io/cyberwire.
High-profile news sites are hit by an angler-driven malvertising campaign, developments in the cyber lawfare ongoing between the United States and Iran, a hacktivist star outs himself and reflects on his career. Apple's ultimate filings in the iPhone case say the government has shown neither necessity nor technical comprehension. And some thoughts on business email compromise, wire transfers, and lessons from the attempted heist at the Bangladesh Central Bank. I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Wednesday, March 16, 2016. Some high-profile sites, many of them news services, have been hit by a malvertising campaign. Among the sites infected are some belonging to the New York Times, the BBC, The Hill, Newsweek, AOL, and MSN. Attackers using the familiar Angler exploit kit are driving the campaign. Trend Micro, Trustwave, and Malwarebytes noticed a spike in malicious traffic over the weekend and have been following the issue. Not all the payloads have been captured, but it seems clear that Angler's serving up ransomware, for the most part to users in the U.S. Trustwave and Trend Micro report seeing BDEP and TeslaCrypt ransomware. Malwarebytes is showing some of the rogue domains involved in the attacks, which it says are affecting the Google, AppNexus, AOL, and Rubicon advertising platforms. Defense and remediation are presumably underway. Malvertising harms at least three classes of victims: the affected sites, the users of those sites, and the advertising platforms. We're still watching for the much-anticipated indictment of Iranian hackers for the 2013 cyber reconnaissance of the Bowman Avenue Dam in Rye, New York. There's speculation that the people facing indictment are the same ones behind Operation Cleaver, the campaign against regional airport security Cylance broke in 2014. Iran itself hasn't been idle on the lawfare front either. A senior commander in the Revolutionary Guard says that they obtained 13,000 pages of data from devices carried by U.S. sailors captured when their Riverine command craft was detained in Iranian waters on January 12th of this year. The devices scraped are said to be laptops and GPS systems. It's unclear what sort of information was extracted, but Iran says it's putting the data to good intelligence use. The Revolutionary Guard spokesman points out, airily and primly, that Iran returned the devices themselves, although it didn't have to, and that its extraction and use of the data they contained fall within Iran's rights under several international agreements. The Office of Inadequate Security publishes a long, interesting interview with Ghost Shell as the one-time hacktivist star continues his repentance and expiation tour. Ghost Shell's real name is Razvan Eugen Georgu. He's 24 and he lives in Budapest. Ghost Shell would do a lot of things differently if he had to do it over again. He wouldn't, for example, join Anonymous, which he characterizes as divided into sincere believers on one side with compromised hackers and false flag law enforcement types on the other. He thinks it's possible for both hackers and public representatives to rehabilitate themselves into legitimate jobs in IT or journalism. And he expresses guilt over having enriched security companies with the FUD he provided. But the main impression he leaves is one of weariness. All is vanity and chasing the wind. One interesting bold, if paranoid, prediction, Georgia says he thinks the whole dark web will one day be revealed as the world's biggest honeypot. Password protection is an ongoing challenge for every organization, and many firms have turned to multi-factor authentication, or MFA, as a way of beefing up their barriers against intruders. Chris Weber is a security strategist at Centrify, where they offer a variety of MFA solutions. He says it's important that multi-factor authentication strike a reasonable balance.
We got to make sure that the folks that are going to use it have enough of a benefit from using it and understand their part and actually aren't tripping over it all the time. What we want is the ability to have multi-factor authentication everywhere with policy and context and rule sets that are smart. And so they say, hey, if I have seen this person do this thing before, if it's a device I've seen before on my corporate network and the person has entered the appropriate password to get in, I don't need to challenge them for multi-factor authentication. The likelihood is very strong that that is the actual user it's supposed to be and not a bad guy masquerading like that user. But if suddenly something's different and you see that it is that user and it is that device that I've seen before, but it's coming from a weird network or a strange country or an odd time of day, or maybe it's a totally different device that we've never seen before, maybe that's the right time to challenge for multi-factor authentication and say, hey, do me a favor, check for a text message on your phone that you should have that I know about, and let's make sure this is really you, or let me give you a phone call and you can authenticate one or two, you know, yes, this is me, or no, that wasn't me trying to log in.
You can learn more at Centrify.com. Apple makes its last filings in the San Bernardino iPhone case before the case opens. The company says, first, that the government is adept at devising new surveillance techniques and so hasn't shown the necessity of the help it's seeking from Apple. And second, Apple says that the Justice Department's filings display a misunderstanding of the relevant technology so fundamental that it invalidates the government's case. The recent attempt on the Bangladesh Central Bank, foiled, we again note, by some alert proofreading at Deutsche Bank, should prompt enterprise introspection over authorization and security controls. Reflect, too, on the current and growing popularity of business email compromise fraud as an attack vector. All that glitters isn't gold, and not every email that displays the CEO's name in the sender field is, in fact, from, you know, Scrooge McDuck, Tony Stark, Daddy Warbucks, J. Jonah Jameson, and so on. You get the picture. So stay safe with your emails out there, and just think of the happy possibilities you now have for creative, honorable insubordination.
Boss, I did see that email, but I thought I'd call you at home to double-check. Sure, I know it's 3 a.m., but better safe than sorry. Am I right? Boss? Boss?
Your boss will understand. Or at least your boss may put some sensible controls in place after your boss wakes up and has some coffee.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its zero trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust Plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zero trust AI. The IT world used to be simpler. You only had to secure and manage environments that you controlled. Then came new technologies and new ways to work. Now, employees, apps, and networks are everywhere. This means poor visibility, security gaps, and added risk. That's why Cloudflare created the first-ever connectivity cloud. Visit cloudflare.com to protect your business everywhere you do business.
Joining me is John Petrick, editor of the CyberWire. John, we have this story about the dam in Rye, New York, being compromised by Iranian hackers. The U.S. is expected to hand down an indictment of those Iranian hackers. Since there's really no chance that these hackers are going to see justice, why is the U.S. going through the effort of indictment?
Let me offer a little context first. We're not talking here about the Grand Coulee Dam. We're not talking about a big hydroelectric dam or some kind of massive threat of flooding or a threat to the electrical grid. It's a flood control dam. It's the Bowman Avenue Dam. This has been traced to Iran fairly definitively.
So is there a sense that the Iranians wanted to be caught? Was this a warning that they wanted us to know that that was them?
That's not clear. There's one Iranian hacktivist group that's claimed credit for the intrusion, but as a number of cybersecurity companies have looked at that, say that's a group that's well known for talking big without really having actually done anything. So do they intend for the U.S. to see it? Senator Schumer late last week said that this was a shot across our bow. You know, he was there speaking in front of the dam, visiting the dam, so on and so forth. And Schumer, of course, was calling for additional sanctions against Iran in retaliation for this. But take Schumer's metaphor seriously. If you take a shot across someone's bow, you're doing that so they'll notice. You want to send a message. You want to get them to pay attention. It's a lot like indicting someone. You have no extradition treaty to get, right?
That's absolutely right. And, of course, to be clear, the hackers didn't actually change anything in the functioning of the dam. They didn't throw any switches. It was exploratory.
Yeah, as far as we know, that's true. Your question is, why do we bother indicting people like that if we don't have any realistic prospect of actually bringing them in front of a U.S. court? It's been longstanding U.S. policy to do what FBI Director Comey calls impose costs on the creep behind the keyboard. If you can impose costs on individuals, if you can name and shame individuals, you may have some prospect, we think, that is the U.S. government thinks, of altering international behavior. And then there's also always the chance you might actually get one of these guys, that we've certainly picked up, U.S. law enforcement authorities have certainly picked up Russian hackers abroad in places where they could get their hands on them, because as one FBI agent said at a meeting we were at, everybody wants to go on vacation every now and then. And if you're living in Russia, maybe you want a honeymoon in some nicer place. And when you do, the famously dogged FBI is probably going to be there waiting for you. So these are some of the reasons why people would expect indictment.
All right, John Petrick, thanks for joining us.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. And now, a word from our sponsor, SixthSense. SixthSense provides award-winning cloud-based automated endpoint and vulnerability management solutions to streamline IT and security operations. With its advanced platform, businesses gain complete visibility and control over their infrastructure, reducing IT and security risks, and optimizing operational efficiency. With SixthSense, you'll get real-time alerts, risk-based vulnerability prioritization and remediations, and an intuitive automation and orchestration engine so you can focus on your core business goals, confident in the knowledge that your enterprise is secure, compliant, and running smoothly. To learn why enterprises choose SixthSense, visit SixthSense.com.